Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise as Brother Calhoun comes to preach to us.
Thank you, Brother Johnston, and praise the Lord, everybody. Isn't it good to be in church tonight? Man, I'm thankful to be at Cornerstone Camp again, and I'm more thankful for what I feel already in this house tonight. The good presence of the Lord that is here, it's evident that there's some folks that came to have church. Amen. And we didn't decide that we're going to have church on the last night, but we came on the very first night ready to have church. It's exciting to be at camp. Praise the Lord. Amen. I was thinking today as we were making our way here what these types of meetings have meant to me in my life through the years. It's been meetings such as this, youth camps, youth conferences, where we come together and take a week and just focus all of our attention upon God, kind of a solemn assembly, and the Lord blesses, and my life has been profoundly affected because of meetings just like this. Matter of fact, I would say that spiritually I'm here today because of youth camps and youth conferences that good men of God sacrificed and churches sacrificed and worked to put on. And I'm very thankful for every one of these men that have made the effort to put this meeting together and provide it for us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Some meetings like this where young people get victory over struggles, where young men are called to preach the gospel. Meetings like this that people get a hold of things that are scotches in their walk with God, that they'll never roll back beyond that point again. Just a landmark experience. And that's what I'm praying for. And I believe it could begin right here tonight. Right here at the onset. We just get in the flow of things and let God have His way. I'm excited about being here with all of these good brethren. I'm looking forward to the ministry of Brother Townley, a dear friend. And I agree and concur wholeheartedly with what Brother Johnston said, one of the most great, fabulous preachers and teachers of our day in this generation. And the Lord has used him so many times. I'll never forget his message last year. How many remember that? The Righteous YOLO. Amen. You were probably like me when he announced that title. You thought, where in the world is he going with that? Well, he got there, didn't he? And it made an indelible impression upon us. And I'm thankful for men of God that know how to hear from God. Praise the Lord. And I would like for somebody's life to be totally turned around in this meeting. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't want it to be like that fellow that was in the prayer room I heard praying one time that said he was getting worked up. He was excited. He was pacing back and forth in the prayer room, and he said, Lord, he said, you've done so much for me. He said, you've delivered me from so many things. You've healed my body. You've been merciful to me. He said, matter of fact, he said, you turned my life around 360 degrees. Well, he meant 180 degrees. I hope this youth camp don't turn somebody around 360 and you end up the same way. But I hope you make a change. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good to see you, Brother Blankenship, Brother Campbell, Brother Johnson. Amen. Thank you for having me. And good to see all these other brethren that are here. And I'll be saying more later on. It's good to be here with Brother Weeks. And I appreciate him so much. And Brother Thrasher. Of course, Elder Johnson, love and appreciate and esteem him highly. It's good to see Brother James. Love him. Appreciate him. Came by and preached for us some years ago. And our church was really impacted by it. If you have your Bibles, I invite your attention to Matthew chapter 26. I shouldn't have to do this, but I will. I'm going to apologize in advance for reading so many scriptures here tonight. But it is the Word of God. And I still preach from the Word of God. I still think it's the Word of God that needs to be preached. Amen. Time Magazine and Newsweek and all that good stuff may inspire you, but the Word of God will change you. Praise the Lord. So let's go to Matthew chapter 26. And I want to begin reading with verse 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately, I want you to notice that, immediately, the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Let's go to the Gospel of John. John, the very last chapter, chapter 21. And I'll begin reading with verse 3. Everybody say, Praise the Lord. Amen. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they said unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in the little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and Jesus laid thereon and bread. And Jesus and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread, and giveth them fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. I have an unusual message, at least for me, that I feel on my heart here tonight. Nevertheless, a couple of days ago, and it's very rare that I ever, before arriving at a meeting such as this, feel something so heavy and know that I will be ministering from that subject. And I felt it on my heart all through the day. And I want to preach, the rooster crows. The rooster crows. Praise the Lord. I want us to engage our minds here tonight. I know it's the first night. We're trying to get settled in. You've came a distance. You're road weary and tired. And I know we're trying to catch our bearings here. But I believe the Holy Ghost really wants to help some folks here tonight. You believe that? Hallelujah. Why don't you lift up your hands and your voice. And let's pray together right now that the Lord would have His way. Dear God, I'm asking You to help us in this place. Minister, work, move in this building tonight. Come on, young person, let's pray. Let's talk to God. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, let's talk to Him a moment. I love You, Savior. I believe in You, God, to strengthen and to bless. To move, God, and to work. To have Your way in this house. In Jesus' name. Would you clap your hands to the Lord? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you so much for standing, and you may be seated. Around the turn of the 20th century, a Russian psychologist and physician by the name of Dr. Ivan Pavlov was doing some groundbreaking experiments that won him a Nobel Prize. We know that it's natural for a dog to salivate at the sight or the smell of food. But Dr. Pavlov wanted to know if this reaction could be stimulated any other way. So Pavlov conditioned these dogs. Before he would feed them, he would ring a bell so that they would associate the ringing of the bell with their time of feeding. And eventually, just ringing the bell without any food within close distance to them, within sight or smell, there was enough to cause them to salivate. Pavlov referred to this as conditioned reflex. The fact is, all of us have conditional reflexes. I'm privileged to pastor, and we just celebrated the 4th of July, and I'm thankful that I pastor men in my church that are heroes to me, that fought for our nation's freedom. They're veterans of war. But in talking to many of them, they all tell me that they also have conditional reflexes. There are certain sights, there are certain sounds that a veteran of war can hear that takes them back to the battlefield and reminds them sometimes of painful memories when they were at war. I remember myself just 19 years of age beginning to evangelize. I don't recommend that, young people. And setting out on our first excursion with a new trailer, and many of you heard me tell the story of how I was alone, and after several hours of driving, parked the trailer back where there was some semi-trucks parked, and fell asleep in the trailer, and just in a little while, there was a butane leak in that RV, and it exploded, and the literal whole trailer was literally engulfed in flames. And it was miraculous how that I was able to escape. But my point is this, several months later, in a new trailer, we had a little space heater, and I don't think they operate like this now, but it had a thermostat on it. It was very cold. It was during the winter time, and had it set up on the nightstand next to our bed. And, of course, it would come on and go off throughout the night as the temperature would dictate. And so during the middle of the night, fast asleep, the trailer lit up, and that thermostat kicked on, and that space heater began to blow. And just in that moment, in a split second, I come up out of my rest, and I thought that I was reliving that explosion all over again. Over the course of our lifetime, we acquire an elaborate repertoire of conditional reflexes. And this is also true with us spiritually. When we sin, thank God for that holy and healthy conditional reflex that we call conviction. It takes conviction many times to lead us to repentance, which leads us to forgiveness. There's no forgiveness of sin without there being repentance from sin. And I think this is a subject that is not nearly preached upon enough in Pentecost today. The subject of repentance. I've told my church many times I'm not interested in an assembly line Pentecost where we can just count numbers. But I believe if somebody's truly going to get the Holy Ghost, the prerequisite is that they must repent of their sins. For Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, let's just go ahead and get it out of the way. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Peter preached it on the day of Pentecost, a message of repentance. And when he preached that message of repentance, the Bible said it was followed by men and women being pricked in their heart, being convicted of their sin. I truly believe in conviction preaching. I believe that that's what affects change in the lives of people. I'm not interested in you just hooping and hollering over the next few nights and going home to fornication and going home to lying and stealing and I'm not interested in you just hopping and skipping around here and not really being affected and impacted to live for God when you get home. I want there to be a real change in the lives of young people here tonight. It's my opinion we need more conviction preaching today. The Bible said that godly sorrow worketh repentance. Conviction. Amen, is what stirs our heart. However, the devil has a counter weapon that he uses in his arsenal against every child of God. A weapon that he uses very effectively, especially against young people. And that is the weapon of condemnation. And sometimes many have confused the two, conviction and condemnation. But there is a difference between conviction and condemnation. Conviction offers hope. Conviction leads to repentance. I said conviction leads to true repentance. And let me just reiterate here tonight that it takes that to really get forgiveness and to get victory over sin. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 17 talks about Esau. And I was pondering this of late. It says that Esau, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And at first glance at that scripture, one would think that God has cut this young man off. God is through with this young man. He's went too far. He's done too much to get forgiveness. But it did not say that he didn't get forgiveness. It said he found no place of repentance. When you find a place of repentance, you'll find a place of forgiveness. Hallelujah. And conviction offers hope, but condemnation leads to hopelessness
and despair and guilt and shame. And I know this is an unusual subject, but I think it's something that many maybe are struggling with tonight, though we're hesitant to ever admit these type of things. And many times we camouflage it by doing all of the routine things that we Pentecostals do. But deep down in our heart, we're having a struggle. And we're fighting with this thing called condemnation, shame, and guilt. I think somebody's going to overcome that struggle before this service is over tonight. I think somebody could get some victory over that before this service is over tonight. When you examine this story of Simon Peter through the filter of Dr. Pavlov's experiment, it takes on a very interesting fact. At the Last Supper, Jesus was gathered with His disciples. And suddenly, it almost seems like out of nowhere, He announces to them, "All of you will be offended in Me this night." Simon Peter, always the one that is always out ahead of all the rest of the disciples. He was that one that was first to make the move. He was always the one that was the least hesitant, probably the most careless, always ready to accept the challenge. He is almost indignant with this statement that Jesus makes. And He said, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee." Listen what He says. I'll never be offended. Now, some of you young people ain't old enough to realize that there's wisdom in never saying never. Praise the Lord. I'll never be offended. We've had to eat those words a few times. If you've lived very long, you've said such statements and had to retrace your steps and reconsider. Never will I be offended. But in that very same chapter that I read to you from tonight, the Bible says that just after the arrest, and as that night begins to drag on, that Simon begins by following him afar, and then there is a damsel that came and asked him, said, "Weren't you with Jesus?" And he said, I don't know the man." Jesus had told Simon that before the cock crows in the morning, you will have denied Me 3 times. And he dismisses himself in the presence of that damsel. And there's another that comes to him and said, "I recognize this fella. He was one that was with Him." And he again, the second time, denies the Lord. And then there were others that recognized and said his speech, his accent, betrays him. "Surely you were one of them." And he curses, and with an oath, he makes the statement, "I don't know who he is." And the scripture says something here that catches my attention. It says, immediately, the rooster crows. Immediately the cock crew, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus. Suddenly, he was overtaken with condemnation, overtaken with guilt. And one gospel writer even says it this way, that Jesus was in close proximity, and that he turned and looked at Simon Peter, and they made eye contact. Now, most of you parents know when your children, just by making eye contact, you can tell whether or not they're telling you the truth. My little girl, she's got the Holy Ghost, but she's still a little girl. And she was riding home a few days ago with her mother with the groceries in the back seat. And they brought the flour in. The bag of flour had a hole in it, and you know what kind of mess that can make. And there was a trail of flour leading in the house. "Chanel!" I can say this because she's not here. "Chanel, how'd that flour bag get a hole in it?" "I don't know." But her eyes were telling a different story.
to get that sideways glance. I remember when my daddy with those beady eyes used to look at me. I'd start looking around, looking down. I didn't want to look him in the eye, because when you have to look somebody like that, an authority figure, in the eye, you just feel like they can see all the way through you. I had a pastor when I was growing up. He had a way of doing his eyebrows. He could make one of those eyebrows go all the way up in his hairline. He had a receding hairline. When he look at you, you knew when you were in trouble. Me and his son, pastor's boy, was sitting back as he was teaching Bible class one day, and we were cutting up, and I looked up just quick enough to see that eyebrow going up, and I said, "Oh Jesus!" It went all the way up, and I said, "Buddy, we're in trouble." I never wanted to get home so quick, and the Bible class to be over, and to get out and off the church premises in all of my life. Because when somebody looks you in the eye, and when Jesus looked at him, trepidation filled the heart of Simon Peter. Hallelujah. And have you ever wondered that if every time that Simon Peter from that point on heard a rooster crow, if he didn't feel a twinge of guilt, if something on the inside of him didn't turn over, if that same shame that he felt that morning didn't come rushing back, and he relived that time that he failed the Lord, that he made a mistake, that he come up short, it was a painful reminder of the past. It was not something that was easily escaped in that culture, in that world. Now, most of us, we live in suburbia, and we live in cities, and some of you probably got some farms nearby, or maybe you even live on a farm, and you know what it is to have a chicken that crows in the morning, a rooster that stretches out his neck and he crows in the morning. Those jokers don't come with a snooze button. They don't care if you're in your REM cycle of sleep. They're going to come and crow the first light that they see. And in that culture, he couldn't get away from it. It was every morning at first light. And maybe there were several of them that were around, and you would hear this, or he would hear this over again. Here not long ago, roosters can, you know, they can be a very annoying thing. And here not long ago, we decided, we've seen at Sam's, we've seen this chicken coop on sale. The small chicken coop. And Chanel, you know, she finally talked us into getting a dog. And of all breeds, we got a Chihuahua. Now, Chihuahuas, they got an attitude. And so we got that. And now it's chickens she wants. And I don't know how the Chihuahua and the chickens are going to go together. But I got to thinking, I live in a neighborhood that I don't know what the codes are, but I doubt that it's set up for chickens. And so I got to asking around. I didn't know. Matter of fact, I asked Brother Sam Ham. He's got some chickens. I said, "Brother Ham, I said, do you know anything about chickens? Do you know if hens crow? I know roosters do, but I want to know." He said, "Well," he said, "most of them don't." And I said, "I want some feminine hens. I don't want any masculine hens, because I got neighbors. I want hens that know their place. Praise God." And we got more specific than that. We want them kind that's those non-cholesterol type. Green eggs or something like that. Supposed to not have any cholesterol in it. I want them to lay those kind of eggs. So we've been waiting for the right hens. We don't want any noisy ones. And we want the ones that lay the right kind of eggs. Roosters could be an annoying thing. I know that the Scripture says that Satan goes about prowling, roaring as a lion. We also see in the Word of God that he's as subtle as a serpent. But can I tell you that sometimes he crows just like a rooster? Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He wants to remind you of every mistake. He wants to remind you of every failure. He wants to remind you of every shortcoming.
over and over again. He doesn't want you to break the cycle. He doesn't want you to break through here at camp meeting. He wants you to go home with the same condemnation. Matter of fact, here at camp, you're going to attempt to worship and you're going to hear a little voice that tells you that you're not worthy. I want to encourage you from the get-go tonight, on this very first night, I want you to shake off those feelings of shame. I want you to get rid of that condemnation. I want you to stretch your hands in the heavens and worship God. I want you to sing. I want you to praise. I want you to magnify God with all of your heart. Say, devil, you're not going into my worship. I made up my mind. I'm going to break out of this. There's going to be folks this week that's going to attempt to exercise faith that God would move in their life. And the devil's going to remind you of something that happened to you last year, something that happened 5 years ago. You see, there's no time that he ever stops. He's the accuser of the brother. He has no statute of limitation. He digs things up from years ago. But I feel like there's going to be somebody that's going to overcome that in this house tonight. Some young person that desires to be used of God but feels disqualified. I'm telling you, God's going to move in this meeting starting tonight, and you're going to get victory over some things. Because, you know, the devil knows if he keeps you focused on the past, you'll forfeit your future. Last week, I became a grandpa. Can you folks believe that? I know you can't believe it. I mean, I just graduated from high school not too long ago. I became grandpa not once, but twice, and maybe before the week's out, a third time. When we do things, we do it all at once. I had twins. I didn't have twins. My daughter-in-law had twins. And with buying all this stuff, I'm telling you, man, if you want to go broke, have some grandchildren. I thought kids were bad, but grandchildren worse. Because your wife, she don't know where to stop. And so we got, you can't buy just one, you know. You got twins, you got to buy two. We got two car seats. And I've always thought about those poor little darlings in the back seat. Can't put them in the front seat. In the back seat. Facing backwards. They're not seeing where they're going. They're seeing where we've all been. But I remember when little Chanel got old enough, we finally got one of those booster seats, and she could set up and she could face forward for the first time. And she could see where she was going. Amen. The joy of facing forward and not having to face backward. Somebody's going to find that joy in this meeting here tonight. God's going to show you what He wants to do in your life. You're not always going to be looking back. You're not always going to be looking where you've been and the mistakes that you made. But God's going to say, you got a bright future. There's some things that I want to do. There's some areas that I want to use you. Hey, stop. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's time you start looking ahead. I'm kind of like that old fella that went into the doctor. And then they said, well, the problem you got, we got a solution for it, but there's two types of medications that we use to treat this, and one of them causes you to go blind, and one of them affects your memory so that you can't remember anything. Which are you going to choose? He said, I'm going to choose. That's an easy decision for me. I'm going to choose the one about the memory that causes memory loss, because I would rather see where I'm going any day than to remember where I've been. Praise the Lord. Aren't you tired, young person, of being haunted by mistakes and failures? Aren't you ready to move ahead with your life living for God? I'm telling you, if you repent, God is able to restore. He's able to renew. He's able to revive. He's able to give you a new start. Come on, we've all had times that we wanted to retrace our steps. We've all wanted to hit the reset button. We've all wanted to start over. But the Bible said we could be born again. Born again. Born again. I think we ought to just take a moment right now. Let's worship the Lord. Come on, let's give praise to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. I want to help some young person here tonight. You know, we're pitiful at covering our mistakes in ourselves. We're pitiful of trying to camouflage them and act like they don't exist. It's impossible to cover it up on your own. It's impossible. Adam and Eve attempted to sow some fig leaves together. You can't cover sin up in your own ingenuity. But notice what the Lord said. He said, Adam, where art thou? He didn't say, what have you done? He said, where are you? Because you can only start from where you are right now. You could only begin again from where you are right now. I'm not interested. I know what you've done. I know your failure. I know your mistake. I want you to make it right. And I'm going to show you how to make it right. Even blood is going to cleanse this. And I'm not negating the need for repentance. I've already established that fact. There's got to be repentance. But I'm here to tell somebody, once you've repented, you've got to have faith to believe that God can forgive you. We're pitiful. And tried to cover up and mask our mistakes. I remember when I was just 7 years old, I got my first BB gun. I don't know what I belonged, what I had business having a BB gun at seven, because everything that breathed, I wanted to shoot it. And it wasn't one of those pump up jobs. It was real powerful. It was just a single shot type BB gun. And man, I shot at squirrels. I shot at birds. I didn't do very good, but I shot at everything. I shot at some people. I shot at everything. And I don't know what possessed me to do it. My daddy used to buy tractors, old Ford tractors, and restore them and then resell them. And also he used them, and they were very special to him. And it was kind of like the tree of good and evil for me as a seven-year-old boy. If you touch this, you'll surely die. Stay away from it. Don't get on it. Don't play on it. It's got a brush hog. There's a lot of danger here. Don't fool with it. And so I was standing afar. I don't know if it was because I had resentment towards that tractor because I couldn't get on it. I don't know what possessed me to shoot that tractor. Maybe I thought it was an invincible thing and it couldn't be hurt by little old BB. But when I shot that thing, it began to bleed. Bled green antifreeze out on the floor. It was just pouring out. I said, oh, Lord. And I went and got a 5-gallon bucket, and most people would have turned it up and caught that stuff, because back then, at least, we didn't have a lot, and it would probably have been the right thing to do to try to catch that stuff and keep it off the lawn and save it and be able to use it again. But I turned that bucket up upside down, put a board on top of it, tried to hide it. And it was running all down the backside of it, running all over the ground. And my mother, she seen it right off. And she can't keep a secret. I knew she was going to tell my dad, and he came home for dinner at about 5. So about 3:30, I went in my room, closed myself in, went into intercession, trying to get my story together of what I was going to tell Dad when he got home. How was I going to answer for this terrible blunder that I had made? And so, as I was there, 5 o'clock, I heard the truck pull up outside. And I mean, I was dreading it. I mean, I'm telling you, I was quivering on the inside for fear. Because my dad, he'd already told me, he'd already warned me. And so I heard them footsteps. The door slammed, and he came on in the house.
Evidently, he had seen it, or Mom had already told him. He didn't break stride. He came right down the hall to where my bedroom was. And with every footfall, I was just, my heart was up in my throat. I didn't know what in the world I was going to say or do. And when he walked in, I remember hanging my head. And I don't know what possessed him to do it, but he didn't say a word. He just walked in there and wrapped his big arms around me and hugged me up and didn't say anything. But what he told me with his action was this, is that you're more valuable to me than any farm equipment. You're more valuable to me than that old tractor. Can I tell somebody in this room tonight, your soul is valuable to God. God wants to help somebody that's in this place tonight. God wants to restore somebody that's in this house tonight.
Days after the denial of Jesus and the death of the Lord on the cross, Peter announces, he said, I go fishing. Now, he could have just wanted to go relax, go do something that he enjoyed doing. But I can't help but wonder if he wasn't wanting to go back to what he had done before. Maybe just possibly, there was a part of him that wondered that after denying the Lord, he might have felt like that his career as a disciple and follower of Jesus was over. I've failed too many times. I've gone too far. And that conditional reflex was to revert to his old ways. I go a fishing, but I also note this, and I want to say this to people in this house, young and old. The scripture says that when he made that statement, the rest of the disciples says, we'll go with you. I'm going to tell you, you may think that your influence and your actions and how you respond to things and your example really doesn't make an impact. But I'm telling you, it does make a profound impact. How you respond. How you act. Oh, I could go a long ways with this, but I just want to say how you respond to the pastor's correction. How you respond to the pastor's strong preaching. Others are watching you. I will tell you parents something. Your children are watching you. They listen to your conversation on the way home and around the dinner table. They watch how you respond and react to the preaching of the Word of God. They know whether you appreciate it or despise it. They know whether you receive it or reject it. You're not hiding it. When you sneer and roll your eyes, amen, they see that response. Amen, they see that reaction. And you may say, what does me falling away from God or backsliding have to do with anybody else? It has a lot to do with other people. Because we're all a part of a body of Christ. We're all a part of a building that He has built up that is fitly framed together, the Scripture says. And when you're missing from your place, there is a place that is vacant in the heart of every person in the church. You gotta watch how you respond. You gotta watch how you react to things. Simon said, I'm going fishing. Man, and I'm sure that Satan would have loved nothing more than for Simon Peter to live the rest of his life fishing on the Sea of Galilee, doing what he had always done, just being what he had always been. But you know, the fishing didn't go too good. The Scripture says they caught nothing. I'm going to just tell you that it's never going to be as satisfying going back to sin and back to the things of the world as you think it's going to be. As you imagine. We've got a problem with nostalgia. We can think of things in the past and we get those old nostalgic feelings, and it's always better than what it really was in our minds. It's always more fulfilling in our minds than it actually was. I remember when I was a little boy, my dad had taken me out in the front yard and learning how to ride the bike without the training wheels. And I remember, man, when I took off and started riding that thing, and man, finally I could join the rest of the neighborhood boys and riding their bicycles. And man, I can go back to that memory and think, man, how innocent I was and how young I was and what an exciting time. But I forget about all those great knees, all those bike wrecks, all those times of eating the pavement. Amen. I forget about that. And that's the way you are with your life of sin. It's never going to be as fulfilling to you as you imagined it to be. He went back to his old places and nothing. He tried all of his old tricks and nothing. He caught nothing. And the Scripture says that Jesus came to him. As if to say, you've tried. You've done all you can do. Aren't you thankful that He always shows up when we need Him to? And He's standing on the shore overlooking the situation. And they notice Him there. And John tells the rest of them, he said, that's the Lord. He said, have you caught any fish? Oh, don't rub it in, Jesus. You know we haven't caught any fish. Amen. He said, cast on the right side. And the Bible says that they caught such a drought of fish that they were just hardly able to drag them in. They had to call for others around them to help them. And when he arrived there at the seashore, there was a fire and there were coals and there were fish that were prepared. And God had already prepared things for him there. And Jesus asked the question to Simon Peter. The man that had recently denied him. He said, do you love me more than these? You love me more than this old life? You love me more than all of this? He said, Lord, I love you. A second time he asked him, he said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? I said, Lord, thou knowest, I love you. You know I love you. And then, a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said, Lord, thou knowest all things. He said, you know that I love you. I've wondered, maybe you have, why did he ask him even to the grief of Simon Peter? Why did he ask him three times the same question? Lovest thou me? Is it any coincidence that he asked him three times? I don't think it is. Because Simon had previously denied the Lord three times. And notice he asked him three times. What is he doing? He's reconditioning something in the heart, in the mind of Simon Peter. And notice when he came to him, the Bible said that he came to him in the morning when the roosters are crowing. That's when Jesus came to him and said, while the roosters are crowing, I want to ask you a question. I want to take you back. I want to ask you something. I want to reprogram something in your mind. While the roosters are still crowing, I want to ask you, do you love me? I don't want to be the last thing that is reminding you of this. It's your failure, your past, your mistake. But when you hear that rooster crow from now on, I don't want it to be regret. I don't want it to be guilt. I want it to be gratitude. God came to me, that the Lord Jesus Christ, He came and restored and renewed some things in my life. Musicians, would you come? Would you stand with me right now? Lift your hands to the Lord. No longer will the crowing of the rooster be a reminder of a painful, regretful past. No longer will it produce feelings of guilt, but it's going to produce feelings of gratitude. I feel like God wants to deliver somebody from haunting memories, from a past that has dogged you. Tonight, I know it's different. I admit to you, I struggle with preaching this because I don't want anybody to think that I'm abusive of grace and mercy of God. But I feel this so strong in my spirit. Tomorrow night will probably be different, but tonight it may just be one person that I'm preaching to. But God's saying, get the monkey off your back. Overcome it once and for all. That thing that dogs your worship. That thing that keeps you from really being what you need to be for God. That thing that keeps you from really being the overcoming child of God that you are called to be. Why don't you get free from it? It's affected your relationships. It's affected your life in every way. It's a scar. It's a painful reminder. Time you try to take a step forward, you hesitate because of some haunting memory of the past. We're going to turn the car seat around and you're going to start looking to where you're going instead of where you've been. Is there some young people, and maybe there's even adults here tonight that want to come to this front, say, God, I'm bold enough to say the preacher's preaching to me. I'm bold enough to say that I need some help in this area. God, I need access your grace here tonight. I need your help. I need you, God, one more time. Help me, Lord. If there's sin that needs to be repented of, if there's things that you need to get out of the blood, get them out of the blood tonight and let God give you victory over those things. There's areas of your life that you need to take care of. Don't hesitate. Don't let that become deep-seated. Come on, it's time to cast down that condemnation once and for all. Praise the Lord. Why don't you step out from where you are and make your way? Come on, are you hungry for God to move and work in your life? You want the Lord to touch you right now? You want the Lord to help you? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. Oh, let's seek the face of the Lord right now. Let's reach out to God right now. Oh, if you'll cry out to Him, He'll hear that call. He'll hear that cry. He'll respond to your needs. He'll work in your life. Hallelujah. If you're willing to repent, you can find forgiveness. I said, if you're willing to repent, you can find forgiveness here tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.